2019 AFL season is proudly brought to you by Toyota. Toyota footy. Oh, what a feeling. Triple M's Dead Set Legends is back.
The world is watching.
Your Saturday morning is sorted with former St Kilda champ Joey Montagna.
You just got to make it a poo fight.
Triple M footy newsbreaker Jay Clark.
I might do this show nude.
And horse racing royalty Emma Friedman.
What's wrong with you two?
Everything you need to kickstart your weekend. Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Yes, welcome to another edition of Dead Set Legends, talking sport for your Saturday. Thanks for joining us. And good morning to you two legends, and Rosie, of course. But how good that footy's back.
Yes, it's great, Emma. For good games to kick off the AFL season, Joey. So I'm absolutely wrapped the footy's back on. I'm not sure my wife is, to be honest. Sort of my domestic productivity, fair to say, really sort of goes through the floor. I just sort of sit there on the couch if I'm not the games and watch them. I do like to try and do the folding, like, you know, to do the washing.
Yeah, you can sit still on the watch couch. The TV.
You got the basket there. Yeah. You don't have to move. Yeah. Sort of beer in one hand, you know, a t-shirt
odd socks
in the other.
Getting paired together. You know, that's exactly. Just a nightmare.
So that's my next 6 months.
I'm just glad that we can stop talking about Married at First Sight, and what is everyone watching on Netflix now? Finally, footy's back. The whole Married at First Sight can move over. Netflix and trying to find something every night can move over. There's now plenty of footy, and then during the week we've got all the footy shows. So you're right. The it doesn't do great things for the marriage, but we love the footy, Emma, and two great games to start it off.
Yeah, I really enjoyed both games that we've seen so far this season. You know, starting on Thursday night, I thought that, especially the second and third quarter with Carlton, that was a bit closer than I think a lot of fans would have anticipated.
I didn't see that coming either, Emma. I just quickly asked you about last night. The skills were off last night, Joey. Was that just because the round one, was it the slipperiness of the ball? It was a bit sort of humid or anything?
To be honest,
sweat,
generally it's a combination of everything. The pressure goes to another level. You've trained and played JLT. It's nowhere near the standard of playing round one.
Yeah.
Probably a little bit humid. It was quite humid last night and a bit rusty as well. And you combine all those three things, you're not getting the greatest spectacle, but that'll come over the next few weeks.
In terms of last night as well, one of my favourite things was seeing Tom Hawkins doing the Rock the Baby, you know, with his first goal last night.
More celebrations. I think we can add that to the AFL, the men. They can do a bit more celebrations, I reckon.
Yeah, congratulations to Tom and his wife, Emma, who had another little girl this week, Mimi. So Mimi and Belle now for the Hawkins family down on the Geelong coast. What are you looking forward to today, though? Because some more footy to come. We'll get into the footy news very shortly, but there are a couple of really big, exciting games today.
Yeah, I'm working tonight at the Western Bulldogs Swans game, and I'm actually interested in that. We're going to chat to Luke Dalhouse a bit later on, who obviously is a former Western Bulldog player, to see where they're at. I still think the Bulldogs have got a bit to offer this season. I'm a bit more bullish on them than a lot of other people are. I think they can push near the top eight, and the Sydney Swans, you know, seeing Buddy always live is a highlight. So looking forward to that game tonight.
I like the Swans tonight. I'm going to beat the Bulldogs, but I'm just wondering if there's an upset in the making in the other game, whether Brisbane at home against a depleted injury sort of marred West Coast team without some of their big guns, especially Josh Kenny. I wonder whether the Lions can get off to a fast start tonight against the reigning Premier. Be a huge story to start the season, then.
Wouldn't it just? We're going to cover it all here on Triple M throughout the day. But coming up on our show, Champion Mare Winx will go around today on Golden Slipper Day. Her trainer, Chris Waller, will join us with some interesting news about a possible match race with stablemate the Autumn Sun for her final ever race day appearance. We're going to ask him about that, and I have a feeling he might shed a bit of light, boys, which would be exciting.
Hopefully.
Be huge.
New Cats recruit Luke Dalhouse will also give us a bell after their win over the Pies last night. We're going to cover every other piece of sporting news in Saturday's scoreboard too, but really, let's get into a bit of footy news that's drifting around at the moment.
Yeah, I'm expecting a big name late change for the D's before their 145 clash against Port Adelaide at the MCG. You'll hear it on Triple M, of course. But I believe that Jordan Lewis, the veteran defender, won't take his place against the Power. I think he hurt his hamstring in their last training session for the week. So a real blow for the former Premiership Hawthorn defender and midfielder. I think the hard nut, Tommy Sparrow, should come in for him, play a bit of midfield, a bit of defence. But, Joey, I just think that this, the more I look at this Melbourne side, the more I wonder whether they could be vulnerable in wet conditions against Port Adelaide today. They've got three new faces, Wagner, Marty Hall from Collingwood's VFL team, and now Tommy Sparrow coming in for Jordan Lewis. It's still a very young team. And then I think that Jack Viney limited preparation. Melksham the same. Co-captain Jones has been on light duties for a month or so with a back hamstring issue. I think it could be a really tough day for the Melbourne Footy Club.
Yeah, we've spoken about Melbourne, how they had a lot of players have off-season surgery. It was an unusually high amount. Clayton Oliver had double shoulder surgery. So I think they will be slow to get going, Melbourne, because I think they'll get better as the year progresses, just because a lot of them did have interrupted pre-seasons. I'm still not too worried against Port Adelaide at the MCG today, because you did mention how young Melbourne side are and the players they're in, but Port Adelaide are playing, they've got four debutants and a couple of other fresh faces. For me, Port Adelaide are going through a bit of a reboot on the run. Yep. I think they're actually bottoming out with some, getting some young talent in, trying to find some more talent, because their four best players are all over 30. Robbie Gray, Trav Boak, Westhoff, Paddy Ryder. So even though Melbourne will be slow to get going, I still think they'll be too good for a young Port Adelaide side.
I think Jordan Lewis might have a late fitness test before the first bounce, but as I say, expecting him to be a late out for the Demons today, it's a huge blow for Geordie Lewis, Joey, because he's a veteran in the last year of his career. He's hanging on to his spot. Now he maybe has to come back through the VFL.
Well, that's what I was going to say. It's more of a blow for Jordan Lewis, because I think he's one that, as the year goes on, is he in their best team? I know he's still got some value to add to their side throughout the season, no worries. But if their best team, it's going to be a tough one. So for him to miss, say, 2 or 3 weeks early in the year, and if Melbourne get off to a good start, as you know, it's always harder to get out of the side when you're winning than to get in. So it's going to be interesting to see how Jordan Lewis's season pans out.
Speaking of defenders injuring themselves, Alex Rance, obviously, on Thursday night, devastating news for the Richmond Football Club. What I was so impressed by yesterday, though, boys, was his upbeat attitude to, you know, doing his ACL and knowing that it's going to take a long time to get back into that side.
Amazing the way he carried himself. I was blown away. It's a great point you make, Emma. He just, you know, open with the media. Obviously devastating news, but his character, Shanti, he's been a polarising personality in footy circles because he can be a bit theatrical and, you know, he does all the funny stuff. But, geez, you take your hat off to him under enormous pressure, really, and, you know, in difficult circumstances the other night.
Absolutely, absolutely. And Rance, in some ways, is probably a little bit different, I think, to the average footballer, where he knows football's not the be-all and end-all. I mean, he even contemplated his career, 3 years ago, he thought about stepping away from football. So I think he has probably a bit more perspective on life, maybe, than some other footballers. Still, it was great to see him with that smile on his face. I still think, though, Richmond can win the premiership. I know some people have written them off.
Absolutely.
I think it's because it's a system-based. We saw West Coast do it last year. Football teams now rely on system, and their system is as good as any, their brand and the way they play. And I just think it means guys like Grimes and Asprey and Broad, who have probably been underrated and overshadowed by Rance, now get their opportunity to shine, and Vlosten in a defensive unit for Richmond.
Ryan Garthwaite comes in. He was a pick 72. He's in his third year, 192 centimetres. Spoke to Trent Cotchin the other night, nominated him as his clear replacement. I think the Tigers have only won two of their last 12 games without Rance. He's been such a durable performer, a big challenge for Punt Road. Before we go to the break, Joe, I want to ask you about Tim Kelly. He was unbelievable last night. He was best on ground, 31 possessions. Geelong wanted pick 20 and 22 and a second round pick from West Coast, and Geelong would give West Coast their future third round pick. If you were doing the trade right now on last night's form and what he could be worth, what do you think he is worth on the trade table?
Now, as opposed to what they should have done.
If you were doing the deal right now.
Right now.
Because he looks epic. Geelong looked like they were right.
We've had this discussion on this show. I'd give up a top 10 pick.
Because, that's what he's worth?
Well, because I don't like necessarily speculating on a top 10 pick, an 18-year-old kid that we don't know how he's going to pan out. He could be the next superstar, Joel Selwood. He could also be a flop. I always like the idea of giving away a top 10 pick and taking a bona fide gun in Tim Kelly. And at the moment, I think he's Geelong's best midfielder. Because,
really?
Well,
Danger
plays more 50-50 now. I think he'll play 50% midfield, 50 forward. Selwood's now going to play more on the outside, and I thought he was excellent, Joel Selwood, last night on the wing. Looks
their
to me, Tim Kelly's their number one midfielder, I mean. Ooh. He'll be their number one midfielder in at all centre bounces.
Well, if that's the case, then the Cats were right for holding firm last night.
Absolutely.
And we'll ask for a top 10 pick at the end of this year.
We'll ask Luke Dalhouse about him anyway.
Good idea.
Yeah, sounds like a big call to me, but also, can we note the use of the word bona fide, like Joey just said?
Thank you.
Coming up next.
Or bona fide.
Yeah, I don't know.
We'll find out.
If you know, give us a call. 1353.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Geelong have started their season to perfection with a win over grand finalist Collingwood last night. A 7-point victory in the end, much to the delight of the Cats faithful, and glad to say that one of their newest recruits, Luke Dalhouse, joins us on the line this morning. Congratulations on the win, Luke. It must have been nice to sing the team song with those five other new recruits in the rooms after the win.
Yeah, thank you. It was so good. Obviously, on a pretty big stage, round one against the Pies is always nice. So with a massive crowd, so it was a great win.
Luke, I wanted to ask you about Tim Kelly. Has he surprised you? I know there's Ablett and Dangerfield and Selwood at the club, but Tim Kelly last night was clearly best on ground. Has it surprised you how good of a player he is?
To be honest, obviously, you watch other teams when you're at another club, but yeah, he has surprised me with how skillful he is and how much of a hard worker he is. I mean, he's been training like that all pre-season, and yeah, he looks like he's going to be one of our best players, and I probably didn't see that from the outer playing for the Doggies, so he's going to be a superstar.
Hey, Lukey, Jay Clark here, mate. Congrats on the win last night. It seems like a perfect fit for you to move down the highway from the Western Bulldogs because the Cats are changing their game plan. It's all about that focus in the forward half and that frontal pressure, which is your absolute one wood. Can you tell us about just how much emphasis there is on that sort of forward line pressure and how comfortable you're feeling as part of that Geelong midfield forward group?
Yeah, it was obviously a massive attraction speaking to the coaches and some players from the club sort of the end of last year. They've sort of changed things down here the last couple of years. It hasn't really had much forward pressure. So when they came knocking, I was pretty happy to come down here. And I feel like I fit in really well and the boys have been very welcoming, same as the coaches. So it's been a good couple of months.
We're speaking to new cat Lukey Dalhouse. Can I ask you about the end of last year, Luke? I know a lot of Western Bulldogs fans, or certainly my mates, were shattered to lose you. Can you tell us about your mindset at the end of last year? Had you stopped enjoying your footy? Did you feel a bit stale? Can you just explain? Because it's never easy leaving your mates, leaving a footy club. But how were you feeling towards the back half of last season?
Yeah, it was most definitely the hardest decision of my life to leave the Doggies. I mean, I love that club so much and love all the boys, all the coaches, everyone. It's really hard to think you're on it, but it's just, honestly, it's just mentally I was, pretty cooked, I think. I just didn't have much left in the tank. And to be honest, it was just as simple as making a change. And I was pretty lucky enough to come back home down here to have that change. It was a pretty tough couple of months there towards the end of the year, but I feel like I made the right decision.
It certainly looks that way at the moment, mate. And I know this, but it was a bit tongue-in-cheek, but the little the tete-a-tete with Bob Murphy. Have you had a beer with Bob? Have you sort of sat down for a cup of tea and broken bread, made your peace with the Bulldogs legend?
I haven't had a chance to have a beer with him, but we've been speaking constantly. So
good man.
He sent me a nice message last night before the game, which is lovely. I'm sure we'll have a fun
day. Now, Luke, sorry, mate.
In the future.
Sorry, Lukey. Something caught my attention last night after the show, mate, when, first of all, you did a little interview with Roaming Brian.
But
he did reveal something about your phobia of birds. How petrified you are of birds. For those that missed Roaming Brian last night, can you please explain where that's come from?
Yep. I'm not happy about this. I reckon it's going to be a bird in your locker soon or something.
Yes, there will be a bird. Be careful on Monday. There'll be a bird in your locker.
When I was going to primary school, I used to ride my bike there every day, and on the way there and the way back, and there was a certain magpie. There's no way around it, and I used to get swooped every day. And to be honest, any bird, even if it's a pigeon anywhere near me at a cafe, I have to get up and walk away. it's out now. So
it's fair to say you could never play for the Hawks or the Pies or the Swans.
I couldn't. I probably can't even go to the mascot, to be honest.
Look, that's not good news at all. Hey, finally, just before we let you go and get into that recovery today, Gary Ablett Jr. Last night, your first time playing with him on the big stage as a teammate. People are singing his praises this morning, saying he's back. What was that like?
Yeah, it was incredible. He's such a superstar player and there's so many in this team, but to line up next to him in the half forward flank, it's pretty special. I mean, sometimes you do double look at him. I know I've known him for a bit now, but yeah, he's a superstar. He can play
forward a little bit, it does move better.
Well, good luck with the birds, mate. I hope you don't find any in the locker come Monday morning.
I'll stay away.
Yeah, thanks for joining us on Dead Set Legends.
Well done, mate.
Thanks for having me.
The Dead Set Legends Saturday Scoreboard.
Yeah, Saturday Scoreboard time. Plenty of other sport happening around the country today. AFLW, it's semi-final weekend. Carlton taking on Fremantle at Princess Park today. So for all those Carlton fans that went to the footy Thursday night, back it up and go again today and watch the girls play.
My gut feel is Fremantle big win, Joey.
Fremantle should win. Oh, I think this will be close, though. The weather conditions, Carlton will be in this one, but Fremantle are the favourites. And the other game, this will be a blowout. Adelaide versus Geelong at Adelaide Oval. This is a lopsided match. The Crows will win that one comfortably. NRL news, our boys, the Melbourne Storm, 22-10 victors over the Canberra Raiders last night in Canberra. Sulasi Vunivalu, one of the greats, scored 3 tries, hat-trick, Jay-Z, we love him.
More impressive is your pronunciation.
Thank you.
That was good.
We'll add it again.
Sulasi Vunivalu.
Oh, I like it.
You've just nailed that. The Fijian flyer, he was brilliant last night.
He's a star. Yeah, the Broncos also in the Queensland Derby, 29-10 victors over the North Queensland Cowboys. Jay, not many people would have known, Australia playing in a one-day series last night against Pakistan in the UAE. And our boys are back in form, heading up to the World Cup later in the year. Pakistan made 280, and Australia did that 2 wickets down, 2 for 281. Our boy Finchie, 116, back in form. And Sean Marsh, 91, not out.
It's the ramifications for the batting order are big now, Joey, because I would have thought that Finchie was under the pump to maintain his spot, sort of thinking World
Cup. He's the
captain. No, I thought, well, he's been horribly out of form.
Can't drop himself.
Our man, the
Can't drop yourself
power,
as captain.
The Colac powerhouse.
I'm just going to stand this one out, guys. I don't think I'm up for it.
But the IPL starts, I think, tomorrow, Joey and M. And I'll tell you what the IPL is big for. That's Steve Smith and David Warner.
Yes.
They're both in. They've had a sort of a bit of a nervy, bit of an awkward reintroduction with their Australian teammates to try and get back in, of course, in the locker room ahead of the World Cup. But they will need to make some runs to make sure that they are definitely in the forefront of selectors' minds for the World Cup.
I think they walk straight back into the Australian team. Some other news, Super Rugby, the Melbourne Rebels taking on the Sharks in Durban today. They're going really well, the Rebels. Emma, what's happening with this Super Rugby chat about the new system that might come into place?
Yeah, this is just a rabble, let's be honest. Rugby Union, you know, in this conference system that they've got with the Super Rugby competition, it's going to change again come 2021. So the Sunwolves, who are the Japanese team, they will be omitted from the competition, which is interesting considering they'll host the World Cup later this year. But it just seems like everything that they try with this competition, it doesn't seem to stick. It doesn't seem to work. Yeah. So just another change going forward for the Super Rugby.
Yep, absolutely. And just some final bit of news. Andrew Bogut, the Sydney King, gone over to the Golden State Warriors. Steph Curry calls him the champ because, of course, he won a championship with that team. Mm-hmm. Surprisingly, he's been going all right. He's been getting some minutes.
What do you mean, surprisingly?
He started one of the games.
Why are you saying that?
Oh, because I think we just presumed that he sort of was past his NBA career. He'd come back to the NBL, and he was just going to finish his time here. But what I'm getting at, so he started one of the games. He laughed when Stephen Kerr said, "We're going to start you." He's like, "Are you serious?" Anyway, he's been averaging 4.5 points, nearly 7 rebounds and 2 assists a game in his 3 games back. He might hold on to his spot on the roster come playoff time.
We've been having a bit of a laugh about his antics, you know, at the NBL presentation night, etc. But he has a huge amount of respect, clearly, with the Warriors team and the Warriors fan base because they acknowledged his return in a big way.
It's one thing that bothers me that the Americans do so much better than the Australians is they recognise their champions. Like, if you see Dirk Nowitzki and Dwayne Wade, every time they go play at another stadium, they get a standing ovation. They get some highlights. Last night, Collingwood supporters were booing Gary Ablett.
Why is that?
Why do we do that in Australia? Why don't we give a standing ovation to Gary Ablett, who's one of the greatest to ever play the game, yet we boo? But in America, I think they do it so well with their champions.
Good point,
they give standing ovations and show the respect that they deserve.
Hey, Em, just recapping our earlier story. Jordan Lewis, the veteran Melbourne defender, expect him to be a late out for the clash against Port Adelaide today. The young hard nut, Tommy Sparrow, he's got muscles on his muscles, and they're tipping him to come in, play some defence and midfield against a power. It's a huge game. A bit of rain outside, so it could be slippery conditions for that one, Joey. But I tell you what, I've been saying all summer, I got real concerns about your old mob, St Kilda. And when Alan Richardson said this week that Daniel Hanbury, the star recruit from Sydney, needs to basically have his legs rebuilt because of these ongoing soreness and calf issues, you know, won't be playing before round four, maybe not even before round eight. When you're paid $750,000 a year over 5 years on a mega contract for a bloke whose best footy is clearly behind him, I think they've got this trade absolutely wrong, and St Kilda fans should be so worried about what they have heard surrounding the condition of his body, because this guy needs to be ready to go. And not only on Daniel Hanbury, the selection for this game against Gold Coast tomorrow, where's Hunter Clark? Where's Nick Caulfield? Rowan Marshall is arguably their second best tall forward. He's not in the team. What is going on?
That's true about the some of the selections that I'm surprised about, particularly Hunter Clark and some of these other youngsters, Rowan Marshall, who I think have got a lot of talent in this team that need to be played
if they want to
get up towards the top end of the ladder.
The team.
But your call about Dan Hanbury, what did you say about Dan Hanbury? What did you say? You said they've already.
You said it was overrated.
You said the trade is wrong. Already got that.
I was concerned from the get go, and now the fact that his body needs to be in quote rebuilt because his calf muscles can't withstand the training load, that is a huge worry for St Kilda.
So it's a bad trade. Is that what you're saying?
It is a bust.
Mate, it's a bust. We haven't even played a game yet.
I know. I did that.
We haven't played a game yet. It's not even round one. He signed a 5-year deal. He's at the club long term, and internally, the medicos and the staff knew that he was going to take a lot of time to get his body right. He didn't do a preseason at all 2017, didn't do a preseason at all 2018. They knew it was going to take time. They're not trying to rush him back for round one just to get him out there, just to please the fans or to please people that want to see this deal come off. They've got him as a long-term play, and it's a 5-year deal. So if he misses the first month of season 2019, that is not the be-all and end-all.
What about the first 2 or 3 months?
Well, then it is starting to get into a bit of a concerning stage, because then it is a long period of time with being out. But if it's only the first 4, 5, 6 weeks, I think the club can handle that, and hopefully they've still got 4.5 years of good football out of him.
Getting fit for round one is basically what we're leading into here. It's a bigger conversation. Let's take a look at Tom Lynch from Thursday night. You know, they got him up. He was ready to go. He kicked 3 goals. But, Joey, is it the be-all and end-all to be able to play round one if you're a big new recruit to a club, or even if you're not?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, because all pre-season you train and all you want to do is play. And Tom Lynch was, right, point in case, he did kick 3 goals, but by gee, he was scratchy. He dropped about 5 sodas he'd usually swallow. The big fella was huffing and puffing. In the end, they got away with it. But sometimes rushing back for round one can actually do more harm than good. So trying to rush, say, for example, Dan Hanbury. I rushed back. I had an arthroscope in the after a JLT game in 2015.
Yep.
Wanted to rush back to be available for round one. You know, you always want to play round one. Got myself up only after missing a week and a half after having an arthroscope.
A week and a half?
Yeah, I missed one. It was only 1 week. I just missed the week before round one.
I've had 2 knee arthroscopes and I was on the couch for 6 weeks.
I know. I remember teasing you about it last year.
I missed one.
I played on the field in 2 weeks, but to get to my point, and I thought I was a bit of a legend and played. But what happened is my point of this story is it backfired on me, because I then developed bone bruising and I missed the next 4 games. So in hindsight, I thought I was a legend, rushed back. I'm right to play. I put my hand up, did okay, but then it set me back 4 weeks. So, Emma, to answer your question, rushing back for round one is not the be-all and end-all. We maybe have seen Joe Danaher try and rush back a bit too soon, a bit underdone. You then do another injury. So I'm happy for the club to hold off on Hanbury, build him up, and when he's fully right, then you play him. You don't want to play players that aren't fully right, because they'll do other injuries, and then you do waste the whole season.
Can I ask you a big picture on the Saints here? So Dylan Robin out for the year with a heart. Paddy McCartan, huge question mark with his concussion. Maybe won't see him at least for months.
Carlisle
out with a serious back injury. Now no Hanbury for months. How do we judge this St Kilda team now? Like, what is a pass mark for them and for Alan Richardson?
Yeah, I don't think, again, it's a bit like probably Carlton. It's not win-losses. It's a little bit of the eye test, what you're seeing. You want to see stronger performances. You want to see them beat the teams around them and the ones they should win. And you want to see them be in contests for longer against the better sides.
What about style?
And style. Well, you're exactly right. It's all about the way they're playing. So it's a bit like Carlton already for the eye test on Carlton. Bang, that was a positive. You want to see that from St Kilda. You've got to give them at least 6 to 8 weeks to make a good assessment of where the club's at.
Someone very optimistic here, someone very negative on the Saints going into season.
Stop being so negative, Jay.
Come on, mate. Well. We are having a whole lot of giggles in here, especially about a possible early crow. But we haven't decided either dead set legend for the week or give me a spell with something you've just said, Joey. We'll keep that in the can.
Fair dinkum, ma'am. I mean, which you and I just try and be humble about things.
I know.
Come in here every Saturday morning and work hard. And the 287 game All Australian next to us, just calling himself a legend. Give me a bloody spell, Joey.
Hey,
oh,
after 11,
extraordinary.
Trainer Chris Waller to give us the lowdown on how champion mare Winx is tracking ahead of her last ever start at Rose Hill today. That and more to come on Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
The Dead Set Legends, Triple M.
Let's be honest, the thing that we're most excited about today, boys, is the footy. It's back. We've seen 2 games already and quite a few more to go over the course of the weekend, Jay.
Yeah, big test for Melbourne first up against Power. Now, we like this pick one segment that we have been doing last year, Joey. I try and give you 2 players and you tell me who you would rather in your team. And this week's test is, now no sitting on the fence, no splinters stuff. Right. I want to know who you would rather in your midfield tomorrow. Tim Kelly or the man Essendon paid 2 first-round draft picks for, Dylan Scheel. Don't answer now. Just let that marinate. I'm going to come back to you later in the show. Tim Kelly or Dylan Scheel. And Emma, I got one for you as well. You being the racing guru that you are.
Okay.
Now, for me, Derby Day is sort of like the grand final of the racing calendar. Like that's the big one where we put on our best suits,
Derby Day.
I wasn't
spent 2 years in Perth and it just screwed
it is
my ability
a derby
to say,
over there.
It's in Kentucky. Yeah. It's not Kentucky. It's the derby here.
Yeah.
Exactly. There's a little bit of something in between you two this morning. A little niggle. Yeah.
Emma, what is a bigger, better racing day? Slipper Day today up there in Sydney or Melbourne's Derby Day?
Okay.
What is the better racing day? We'll come back to you a little bit later on the show. I want your answer.
We are still in the midst of the autumn carnival with Sydney taking centre stage today for the running of the Golden Slipper. But Winx, she is the headline stealer in the George Ryder Stakes. Her last ever race, we think, at Rosehill Gardens, gunning for 32 straight wins and 24 Group 1s. And it's a massive effort for the world's best horse. And glad to say that her trainer, Chris Waller, joins us on the line this morning. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Emma. Morning, everybody.
Are you surprised, Chris, that she's come back this preparation as well as she has? I mean, a fourth Cox Plate last spring carnival. I think people thought, she's getting a little bit older now. Will she go as well? But it seems like she has.
Yeah, we are surprised. But her life has been full of surprises. And who would have thought she is where she's at now? For those that don't follow racing or sport that much, she was a pretty talented horse early on. And then was beaten for a few starts. And then it wasn't until she turned basically 4 that she started to become dominant. And she's held that dominance well into her 7th year now. And she turns 8 in a few months' time. And as you said, she's come back as well as ever. So who would have thought she would have been rated the best horse in the world? Who would have thought she would have been running for this long? And who would have thought she's still running so well now?
Well, it sounds like you wouldn't have thought that yourself. How do you feel knowing that now you've trained the best horse that this country has ever seen? I think we can put that to bed now.
It's a different type of responsibility, and therefore you don't really think of it like that. We see her as just being just a friend of one of our staff. Basically, she's down there, and we see her every day. She's just like every other horse. No, not too much special attention, and. She gets all these accolades, and I guess what seems to separate her is how she wins every start. And racing's just like any other sport. It's a bounce of the ball. You need a little bit of luck, but her class brings her out in front every time she races, and it's like a footy team being a couple of goals down with 5 minutes to go or a couple of tries down. Or whatever sport you might play, just imagine that every time you go to the races, and she wins 32 times in a row.
Chris, I know you just mentioned there that she's just like any other horse, but I played football for a long time and it's not right. The superstar's always the coach's favourites. The superstars always get the coach's attention. What is she like away from the racetrack? What is her personality like? And is she a difficult mare to deal with? Does she know she's good? What is she like? Because the superstars always do get a little bit of special treatment compared to the others.
She would be voted the most... she's just the best person in the team, basically.
Wow.
She's there to, help the newcomers out. She's there to give an insight into what goes on in racing. You know, you can imagine a person, that's what Winx is like. And she's there having a beer or a champagne with her mates at the end of the day. Nothing special.
Right.
What is the post-race treat that you give her, Chris? Like, so what, you know, we would have a six-pack, a couple of carrots, mate, or what is her treat after winning again?
Yeah, it's a good question. The people that look after her, we call strappers, and she's got two strappers that look after her, and obviously when one has a day off, the other one's there, and things like that. So, pretty much the same as other horses. You care for them best you can, but they also like a little bit of space as well. So this afternoon, win, lose or draw, she'll go on that, what we call an aqua walker, which is a saltwater treadmill, and it's chilled down to about 6 degrees. She'll go on that afterwards just to take any aches or pains away that may be there. She'll go out through just a pick of grass, which is exactly what it sounds like, and just chill out. So tomorrow morning will be the same. She'll have a quiet day, few days off, and they just love a routine. They love being looked after. Not too much pampering, but they love a pat, they love a cuddle, and she's no different.
Chris, what's life after Winx going to be like? In terms of, there's clearly such a strong connection. Have you thought about how difficult it's going to be when she's off in a paddock just sort of chilling out and you maybe won't have that day-to-day contact? Will that be difficult for the stable?
Yeah, it will be, and we've had a little bit of stick for it because we said a while ago that us wouldn't even offer counselling and that to the staff, and people feel like, oh, they must be mad, it's a bloody racehorse. Well, fact is, she's changed a lot of people's lives. I'll be fine. I've got a lot of other horses as well, and I've got a big business to run, but you're talking a couple of strappers, it's dead set changed their life. It's put them into the limelight and given them so much purpose for their job, and they'll be fine, but we'll be looking after them because it will be a big change. You're going from in the newspaper every day, prior to her racing or the day after she's racing, she's on all the mainstream radios like now. She's on the morning shows on TV and in the front and back pages of the newspaper. So with her, it becomes us. And I think the one thing we will remember is just the memories of Winx, and probably reflect on what she's done more so when she's actually finished than what we're going through now.
Well, one more after today. Is that fair?
We've got to get through today.
I think she'll get it done today, mate.
One race at a time.
She'll be right. But the last 12 months, we've gone into each of her races saying, is today the last day? Because she doesn't deserve to be running around once she does get beaten. And if it's for fair reasons and she's not as good as she's been, well, that's her final race. So we're hoping, firstly, she wins today, and secondly, she comes through the race well and is there in 3 weeks' time at Randwick.
We are chatting to Chris Waller, who is the trainer of Winx.
And there is one more thing we do need to ask him.
There's another one in the stable for you, though, that, let's be honest, you might have another hero on your hands for a couple more years in the Autumn Sun. Are we going to see that final clash in her last race day at Randwick?
Yeah, well, I guess it's just like a footy grand final or series where you're getting towards the grand final where they could possibly clash. And it'd be the biggest teams meeting together. But just briefly, the Autumn Sun, who you're referring to, needs to win today and he needs to win well. And she needs to win today and needs to win well. But there's potentially a clash. My biggest fear is the Autumn Sun, being he's a stallion, so at some stage he'll go and do daddy things at the stud. And the cost to those going to those stallions is a horse like him will be $60,000 plus per mare that he sees, and he sees about 200 mares a year, possibly a few less.
It's a big job for him, isn't it?
The maths. It's massive, and as is the income for the sort of people that own the horse. So we're just hoping he can be around for a few more seasons, and yeah, he could perhaps take over from where Wentz has left off.
Well, good luck today at Rosehill Gardens, Chris, and then good luck for Randwick in a couple of weeks' time. We expect her to go, you know, this stretch 34 undefeated in the end. It's quite the story, and you should be very proud of our Wondermare Winx.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much, everybody.
Chris Waller there, a big day for him.
Em, that is so interesting for me because up until now I thought that the Winx Autumn Sun Showdown wouldn't happen. No chance. After listening to Chris there, correct me if I'm wrong here, Emma, but is the door ajar for that super showdown to happen? Because it sounds like to me that Chris Waller's entertaining the idea.
It feels like it, doesn't it? So that would happen in the Queen Elizabeth Stakes at Royal Randwick on the 13th of April, which would be her last ever start. It's the match race that everyone wants to see for a couple of different reasons, I think, because, you know, Winx hasn't been supremely tested in the twilight of her career because she's just so much better than everyone else. But then you've got this boom gun colt, the Autumn Sun, coming through, who probably by estimations at the moment could be valued at $50 million from what he's already achieved so far. So for him to go up against her in their her final ever race would be, you know, a sensation that I think racing would just love to see it. But there's catch-22s.
There is, isn't there, Emma? Because racing would love to see it. We always love seeing two greats go up against each other or two champions in any sport, whether it's boxing or racing. But is there a conflict of interest here for Chris Waller? Because if the Autumn Sun is this boom colt that could defeat her, does he really want to see Winx finish her final run getting defeated? And at the same time, do you really want to send Autumn Sun up against Winx and potentially harm the value of the stallion? As you said, it could be $50 million. If it beats Winx, it could be worth $100 million. Who knows? To beat the greatest horse of all time. But is there a conflict of interest there that Waller would probably want to try and avoid?
I think the best result for Waller and for probably racing in general would be if they were to go head-to-head for Winx to win, because then she's the greatest ever.
Yep.
She's finished this stretch undefeated.
The legacy.
Exactly right. The legacy is intact. If the Autumn Sun was to beat her in her last ever start, well, it does put a dampener on her career, but it does up the value. You're right.
But it wouldn't affect the value of the Autumn Sun, would it, to run second to Winx, really? So,
the greatest ever horse we've ever seen in this country. Yeah. It's time for this.
One knows what she's talking about.
Blow my own trumpet for a little second.
One thinks he does.
Wow.
And the other has no idea.
I felt a bit left out.
It's the Dead Set Legend's Best Bets.
It's that was amusing, that little thing. Hey, look, we haven't found a winner in a couple of weeks. Emma, can you pick a fast one for us?
Okay, I'm heading to Rose Hill today because that's where all the big racing's happening for Golden Slipper Day. I'm going race 6, which is the Randwick Stakes over 2,000 metres. Number 5, He's Eminent. I'm going to go 50 each way. So probably about $10 the win at the moment, $3 the place. James McDonald on board. Expect a better performance than anything that we saw from this horse in 2018. So I'm going for the value each way bet, Joey. What about you?
Well, I'm going to go to Rose Hill as well today because that is where all the big racing is, and I really like a horse called Gem Song. Race 2, number 1. It's had the 6 starts for 4 wins and 2 seconds. I got tipped this a while ago and it won. It is a gun horse. And the reason why you're getting $6.50 is there's a $1.80 horse in the field, Classic Legend. But I'm going to take that on. I'm having $100 the win on Gem Song. It's a star, this horse. And if it gets the better run, it can beat Classic Legend. $6.50. Watch my bank balance soar.
Well, I'm glad to hear some confidence out of you, Joey Montagne, because we need a winner. You're currently leading, Emma, still on $480. I'm on $280 and you're on $260, Joey. So that is the situation. Now, I obviously just take Pikey at Ascot in the last. He is not racing, so I'm going to take the favourite, Forceful, at $235, race 8 at Ascot for the punters.
The get-out stakes,
because I'll probably be in the hole by then anyway, so you just sort of take the favour in the last. Pikey's not riding it, but hopefully that can get up.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Now, as we get into the real in-depth part of round one for 2019, there's a lot of chat, a lot of talk about the new recruits joining certain clubs, Jay.
Yeah, it's always, it's become a huge thing at the end of the season, hasn't it, Joe? Like almost a season within itself, the trade game. And
keeps getting big up.
Yeah, the poaching that sort of goes on. List managers are certainly very busy early, even this early in the season. They're all over it. So we thought we'd do our top five recruits and make predictions on which traded players would have the biggest impact in 2019. And look, this might be a little bit captain obvious, but I want to start with Tom Lynch. Joe, you're a bit critical of his first performance in yellow and black the other night, but I think the way I saw him and Jack Riewoldt work together, I'm thinking they're going to kick goals this year, Richmond, because if Jack Riewoldt's not going to get you in the air, Tom Lynch will. How did you rate his debut?
No, it wasn't critical. I just thought he was scratchy, which I think is a pretty fair comment. He dropped about five sodas that when Tom Lynch is at full flight, he would mark easily.
Yeah.
He only had, seven disposals. He didn't, didn't take...
It's going to work, though.
He took one mark. Oh, look, it will work because he's in a really great team. So when you said they'll kick goals, Richmond will kick goals anyway.
Yep.
It'll work for Richmond because they're two very good forwards. Three goals for a guy that was scratchy and needed the run. It's a pretty handy start, isn't it? And I mean, if he does that for the majority of the year, he will end up having a really good season. No doubt Tom Lynch is a great asset for Richmond. You can't argue with that.
As a Richmond fan, you're going to rock up to the footy pretty excited about what you're going to see aerially in attack this season. Next one is Stephen May, the Gold Coast Go captain. So Melbourne's big weakness, Em, was having that sort of gorilla at fullback, the key stopper. You know, Frosty sort of can be a bit panicky. Jake Lever's still out with that knee. They needed an anchor, and Steve May is the man. He'd be absolutely spewing to miss today, Joey, the round one game against Port Adelaide. He's suspended, but he can make a huge difference.
So what do Melbourne need to do for you to think that May's had a big impact?
Oh, I think they need to be a grand final team.
If they lose in a prelim again, does May have much of a difference on their side?
I think he can make a huge difference to their defence. I think they're a top four team, but today going to be a difficult test without Jordan Lewis as we set off the top. Lachie Neal comes at number three because I don't think he gets the credit he deserves. He won two best and fairest at your new club, Fremantle, Joey. I don't think he was in Robbo's top 50.
I can't believe that.
Give me
a
spell.
I can't believe that.
Mark.
Give me a spell, Robbo.
With the greatest respect. I love you, Mark.
Lachie Neal's an absolute star. He's a star.
He should be in the top 50. And, man, he's a chance to win Brisbane's best and fairest. I think he becomes Brisbane's best player.
I agree.
Doesn't he?
I think it actually suits him. I think Dane Zorko is probably still the one you would tag if you were playing the Brisbane Lions, which just allows Lachie Neal to do what he does and get his 30-odd touches a week.
Coming in at number four was a great interview earlier. I reckon he's relaxed a bit down at the Kattery. Blue and white, played for Leopold. Lukey Dalhouse last night, he just rolled his sleeves up. He got in the midfield. He won the hard footy, the clearances, and he applied that defensive pressure, Joey, which Geelong hasn't been renowned for, which they haven't been doing. Now they're playing a modern game plan. I think they could go okay, the Cats, with him making an impact like that.
So do you think he gets back to his 2016 form, where he was one of the best sort of half-forward, mid-type players in the competition with his pressure and his disposal?
Yep.
He had 24 disposals last night. We know he can win the ball.
Yep.
If he can just finish up with a few goals, we know he applies the pressure. He could be a very handy recruit for the Cats.
Kicked that goal last night. You saw the raw emotion. Yep. He's pumping his fist. He's throwing out high fives to no ones. He was great, Lukey Dalhouse. Gary Rowan's not my top five, but he can be Cyril-like in that forward 50 with his defensive pressure. But coming in at number five, and this is almost a value selection. It could be the most bargain basement pick of last year's trade period. Tommy Scully. In 2016, he was in All-Australian forward. The Hawks have worked their medical miracles again, Emma. I'm not sure what juices they got flowing down there or what they're doing.
Don't cast any aspersions there, Jay.
I don't know what's going on there, but they just turn injured players back into stars, and he's going to be back playing VFL in 2 or 3 weeks, Tom Scully. They've got him locked in for maybe an AFL return by about round five or maybe even six. They played Geelong in the Easter Monday blockbuster, which would be a huge return to AFL level. But I think Tommy Scully, probably the fittest player in the league along with Mark Blitzarves, is ready to go.
So you think Tom Scully's going to have more of an impact than Chad Wingard at Hawthorn? Wow. And you left Dane Beams out of your top five.
What did you think of his game last night?
He was only fair. He'll get himself going. And of course, the other one is Nick Newman. I thought he was excellent Thursday night for Carl. Nick Newman could be, talk about bargain basement. He could be a great one. But I like your top five, Jay, and we'll see how you go at the end of the year. But I don't think you're far off.
Hey, don't forget the Rub at 12 o'clock is back with James Brayshaw, Brian Taylor, Wayne Carey, Billy Brownless and Damian Barrett ahead of the massive clash between Melbourne and Port Adelaide at the Triple MCG. And Jay, God, you're a busy bee at the moment. Mm-hmm. You're going to be back in there there every Saturday on the boundary.
Yep,
can't wait.
Can't wait, Em. I tell you, you have a lot of fun listening along to the Saturday Rub Boys with BT and JB. I'm half and half the time just listening to them. Caitlin and myself, but I'll try and provide some good coverage of what's happening out on their ground, injuries, etc. But a big game from Melbourne today, as we said. Jordan Lewis expected to be a late out. Tommy Sparrow, the first year hard nut coming in.
Now, you've come up with this this reinvention of a segment from last year, Pick One.
Yeah, I'll try and put you both under the pump with a difficult question.
Jay loves it. The journalist in him. Yeah.
He's like, I want to get the answers.
I've got a good one, he says every week. I've got a good one.
Good on you, Joe. The question,
you idiot.
The question for you this week is, who would you rather in your team starting in your midfield tomorrow? Timmy Kelly, who was best on for the Cats last night, 31 possessions, or Dylan Scheel?
This is a good
big
one.
Name.
You're grimacing.
Don't sit on the fence. I want a clear answer.
I think, and I'm probably a bit biased from last night's performance, but I'm going to take Tim Kelly.
Whoa.
Tim Kelly's first 20-odd games last year were phenomenal. And then the way he started this year, I did make a big call earlier in the show saying he's their number one midfielder.
It is a big call.
I think he will be the one that will be in their midfield the whole season.
You'd rather him than Scheel.
Yes, I think I'd rather Tim Kelly.
So what does he do well? What do you love about
him? His ability to get in and out of traffic. Yep. I mean, his sidestep and his ability to win the ball in close and get out, I think is an asset. He wins the ball. He finds it. He's a pretty good user. He can butcher it at times.
Yep.
He's younger?
He's 18 months younger than Dylan Scheel, which I looked up was instant. Dylan Scheel's already 26 years old.
Yep.
Tim Kelly's still 24, turning 25 in a few months' time. So I'd have to take Tim Kelly.
Big call, but I like it. Now, Emma, your turn. Can't let you off the needle either. Now, what is a bigger race day? Derby Day, which we love here and you love in Melbourne, of course, or up there in Sydney, Golden Slipper Day. Which is a better race day?
This is an easy one. This is just, I mean, he's trying to, you know.
Yeah. My stuff is
Derby Day.
It's Derby Day.
Is it?
Come on. Today in Sydney, it is a mammoth day because, you know, you've got a multitude of Group 1s, but also the Golden Slipper, which is the grand final for the babies, for the two-year-olds.
Yep.
But in terms of what the day actually means, the amount of quality racing, how many people get involved,
the
spectacle,
the
atmosphere, it's got to be Derby Day where you wear your black and white, mate.
Derby
Day.
Still got them covered up.
You've had a few good Derby days, haven't you, Jay?
Enjoy a good Derby day out there in the nursery. And my good mate Coombsy runs a big big mark every year. Hey, could just quickly before I let you go, Joey.
Yeah.
Enemy here. A Tassie team. Right. So reports today coming out that there's a considerable push. They need 50,000 members.
$40 million.
$40 million.
Yeah.
Do you think is it financially viable? Have they got support?
No. How do I know if it's financially
what do you reckon?
Viable? Well,
can we have a 20? Is there enough talent to sustain a 20-team competition? 19-team competition.
Or does someone have to relocate?
You know what? Let's save this for another time. We can have a proper discussion
about
it. I don't know. But I'd like to see a team in Tassie, absolutely.
Okay.
Put it on the back burner for next week. We'll put it on the agenda.
We are fighting the fake news.
The Dead Set Legends.
Give me a spell.
Give me a spell.
Give me a spell.
Phony. Fake.
I'm going to kick it off this week, gang, and it's pretty close to home, this give me a spell, because I'm bloody fed up with the demands that my youngsters in general, kids in general, when you're making toast and sandwiches and you get the shape wrong. Like, you know when, I was making some peanut butter toast for my beautiful three-year-old throughout the weekend, and because I went with cutting it up into soldiers and like rectangle shapes, and that, Daddy, it's not in squares, I wanted squares, full meltdown. Like, this has happened before and I've had enough. I think that the kids should just take whatever the shape bloody sandwiches I give them. I've got to see.
Oh my God, you're going red. Take a breath.
You seem to have issues with your kids quite often. Uno first, and now
I've got to seek parliamentary clearance to be able to go with a different, like whether it's a triangle or a square. Give me a spell. I just want to be happy with your Vegemite sandwich. Can you? If it's not a big square or a small square or the wrong triangle.
Yep.
Oh.
That's very personal.
It is.
All right. Mine's going to be in the media vein. Watching the footy last night, watching the Channel 7 coverage, I think it was Scott Pendlebury. He missed one from about 30 out and just missed everything. And this was... this is what commentator Matthew Richardson had to say about that.
I reckon I've got a new theory for improving goal kicking, BT.
Oh, it's good, Richo. What is it?
It's the left of centre, but I reckon you just paint the goal post a different colour. So... the behind posts are white. Paint them black or red, just a different colour.
Well, they used to be different in South Australia, I think.
Well, there you go.
Red, I think, so they were. JB, were they?
That rings a bell.
In the sand.
So it's not a bad theory, you're saying.
Why is it going to matter?
Well, I just think it will make them stand out a bit more.
How about just practice?
Yeah. Do that too, but paint them a different colour. Practice in a different colour, I'll bet they percentage goes up.
Some great advice from the duck there. Richo, give me a spell. We are not going round to every ground across Australia painting the centre two sticks a different colour because you've missed your opportunity as a full forward to kick one. Now, we've gone back into the archives and it would appear that Richo has form in this area. This from 4 years back.
Players miss shots, I reckon, because the goalposts now are a lot higher than they used to be, BT.
Hang on. Players miss shots because the goalposts are higher.
They're higher, and therefore they look skinnier.
You've gone crazy with Joe.
I'm telling you.
The higher goalposts is why they miss.
When they are lower, they look wider.
I just can't. Just give me a spell.
Give me a spell, Richo.
What the hell?
And Emma, while we're going on Richo, let's double down. Let's triple down on Richo. We know he's a big fan of the show, so we know he takes this the right way. But I also want to give me a spell to Richo from another comment he made last night.
Yeah, well, you know when you go to the pub and you order your fries and they give you a buzzer?
Yeah.
And it buzzes when your fries are ready?
Yes.
You got every player's got a GPS on their back.
Yep.
Just buzz it when they've got to come off the ground.
So if you feel the buzz...
You feel the buzz, you get off the ground.
This is
compare and ordering
rule.
A Palmer at the pub when it buzzes to getting the rotation system
now.
I don't mind it either. But I don't know what Richo was smoking last night, but give me a spell, Richo.
Give me some of that.
They're very, very good, Richo. Well, I'd say give me a spell. They're very good.
Hey, I'm going to take over this week.
Oh, really?
The Dead Set Legend of the Week.
But a champion becomes a
I know this is normally your area, Joey.
You got permission to take over this?
Anoint someone, or crown someone, or give someone a genuine,
Dead Set Legend.
Pump up. I tell you what, I've never heard so much self-indulgence in my bloody life. When you said this earlier,
I had an arthroscope in the after a JLT game in 2015. Got myself up. Only after missing a week and a half after having an arthroscope.
A week and a half?
Yeah, I missed one. It was only 1 week. I just missed the week before round one.
I've had two knee arthroscopes and I was on the couch for 6 weeks.
I know. I remember teasing you about it last year.
I missed one.
I was basically, I played on the field in 2 weeks, but to get to my point, and I thought I was a bit of a legend and played. But what happened is
I thought I was a bit of a legend.
My point of this story is it backfired on me because I then developed bone bruising and I missed the next four games.
Oh, you're so correct. Joey, you're so brave and tough, Joey.
Oh, you sat on the couch for 6 weeks on the arthroscope. Toughen up, mate.
Calling yourself a legend. Well done, mate. Dead Set Legend of the Week, Joey. Good on you, buddy.
Can't say anything on this show.
Extraordinary.
So much sarcasm going on in this show today. Hey, hasn't it been fun? As we've mentioned, you can catch up on anything that we've done on the show by going to the Triple M app or the website all throughout the week, including our chat with Chris Waller and also with Luke Dalhouse. The Rub follows us, followed by three games of footy back to back to back on Triple M. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back on Dead Set Legends from 10 o'clock next Saturday.